Well, good morning. It is great to be here with you today. And as we come into Psalm 56, as you recall, we didn't quite get there last week. And so we're getting there this week. We are reading through the book of Ezekiel. And as you think about the book of Ezekiel, I kept trying to get myself there to preach on Ezekiel, and it never quite got there. I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't force that in and felt like I wasn't getting there. So we're going back into Psalm 56. But as you think about Ezekiel, and Pastor Peter talked and spoke on the glory of God in the beginning of that book, and then it goes into chapters and chapters of judgment on Israel because of their rebelliousness, because they turned away from God. But at the end, it comes back to the restoration, God's promise, all that he had for the people. Because God was still the same. Even though they turned away, even though they rejected God and his plan, he was still the same. Psalm 56 is this time where David is in the midst of his own struggle, his own trials, and he's finding God in that place, and he turns to God in that place. Israel chose not to do that for the longest time. I want us to talk this morning about what does it mean, what does it look like for us to find God in the trials, the struggles, the pain of life. I think of that every week we hear, and some of the prayer requests that we had this morning, we hear of the struggles and trials of life that each people, each person in our congregation, the different people of our family face. We think of the extended family that we all have and the struggles there, the trials. And we get so caught in what's going on right then and the uncertainty that we live in that moment. What we want to talk about this morning is the fact that God never changes. He is still the same throughout that trial, throughout that struggle. And we want to find him there. So we're going to jump in, we're going to run right through this, and we'll pick up some ideas of this along the way. Psalm 56, this song that we'll see, that we see the chorus of, and we want to start off with this idea that when we're overwhelmed by fears and trials in our lives, it can do that, can it? Overwhelm us to the fact that the fear takes over. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what we can do about a situation. The trial begins to be all that we can see, and we are overwhelmed. Now, when my notes there, to recognize it. It's not hard to recognize when we're overwhelmed or when we're in the place of fear, is it? When you're in a car accident and in that split second when you realize this is out of my control, and it's not going to be good, and that fear spikes. We recognize the fear. So what do I mean when I say recognizing it? What we don't tend to recognize is the situation of what that fear is doing in us. You see, when we face a trial, when we face fear in our lives, or the struggle, the uncertainty, we all of a sudden are facing a spiritual struggle. We're all of a sudden in that place where it is a struggle of who we're going to focus on, who is going to be in charge, and what I'm going to trust in. We need to understand that when the trials come, when the struggle hits, we are now in a spiritual battle. It is now a decision of what am I going to do with the choice I have of the focus of my life, and who I'm going to look to. Am I looking to myself to try and figure this out? We have any control freaks in here? Only one person raised their hand. I know a lot of control freaks in here, and it is really hard for those folks to give just an inch, right? It's great as long as it's whose way? Right? My way, right? Yeah. As long as it's what I think, what I like, then we're good. or as long as you're willing to change what you think we're good. You see, we need to recognize the trials and the fear that they bring, things like anxiety, hopelessness, depression, pain, all those things, they pull us away from God, and we focus on ourselves. We focus on the issue. We focus on trying to figure it out. We need to recognize the place that we're in when we face that fear and that struggle, that trial in life. It is a spiritual battle. That's the reality. And we can be immobilized by that fear, by anger, by control, whatever it is that you struggle with. And Satan loves to push those buttons, doesn't he? He's like a two-year-old, right? How many of you have had two-year-olds that, isn't it amazing that at that age, they know you and can push your buttons, right? They know how to get under your skin and just push, and all of a sudden you're, you know, this two-year-old and you're doing battle, right? And it's no longer about how do I nurture this two-year-old. It's about how do I control this two-year-old. And we do that same thing with situations in our lives. We try to control them. We try to figure it out. We try and manage it so that our anxiety, our anger, our control is put into check. And in reality, we need to talk it out with God. We need to take it to God and talk with Him. What David does here is he calls out to God in recognition that, man, I am afraid in this situation. I've got Saul behind me. I've got the Philistines in front of me. And my life is over. And I'm afraid. And he calls out to God, asking that God would be gracious to him, that God would allow him to get through this, that he didn't necessarily deserve it. You know, he didn't necessarily do all that God had called him to do, but he's calling out to the one he knows can make a difference and said, God, be gracious to me. Because, why? It says there, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. This huge attack that he sees in front of him and sees no way out, he talks it out with God. He recognizes with God that, yes, I am afraid, and my tendency is to turn to that. But he's trying to turn instead to God. Instead of the fear, he wants God to act. To not allow the fear to take over, but to see God take over. This conversation that he has in that place with his God. Is God big enough to handle your anger, your fear, your depression, your anxiety? Yes. Whatever it is that you face in life, whenever it is, God is big enough to talk that out with you, to struggle through it with you, to allow you to talk with him and to try and get God in charge instead of yourself. Where David calls out to God in a conversation, asking God to meet him where he is, to intervene in his life. Yes, he wants him to take away his enemies, but he also wants him to change his own response from fear to faith. You see, he didn't necessarily get taken out of the situation when he's calling to God. He has no idea what will happen down the line. He is asking God, be gracious to me, deal with my enemies, but deal also with me. My response to this situation, that I would go from fear to trust, that I would change my whole perspective, my whole outlook on who I look to in this place of fear. Secondly, is to focus on God and not the problem. You see, when we get so focused on the problem, it's like a fog. There was a fog not too long ago that we had, and I now have this truck that has fog lights. And so I'm driving down the road because I remember my van, and I never used fog lights. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm trying to see in the fog, and I tried my high beams. That works really well, doesn't it? I said, let me get a little more power on this thing, and I'll be able to see the road better. I flipped the high beams on, and it was gone. You know, there was no road in front of me. There was nothing in front of me but white haze. So I thought, let's not try that again. So I tried the fog lights. And this low light along the road, all of a sudden I could see the white line again. Where I focus in the middle of a trial changes my whole outlook. You see, when I focus on me and I focus on my anxiety and the fear and, man, I have no idea what's going to happen here, I am overwhelmed by my enemy, whatever it might be, a sickness, a real enemy, a problem, whatever it might be, a loss of job. You know, we can go on and talk about the trials of life, the fears, the anxieties, the struggles. But when I focus on that, I become afraid, or I become controlling, or I become angry. Here, David was afraid for his life, dealing with fear. You see, and it's all right. David recognizes that it's a fact that he has fear and he has faith at the same time. Sometimes in our church, we walk in, you guys all look really pretty and really handsome, and you look good today, right? We walk in through the door and everybody looks that way. And you don't know, you don't see the issues that everybody walked in with. And we always talk about the argument that may have happened on the way to church. But you walk through smiling and saying hi to everybody on the outside. Or you don't know the struggle that someone's facing, and they walk through and they never share it, because nobody does that in church, right? But David breaks that completely away, and he says, Lord, I am afraid. But at the same time, I want to look to you with the faith. I want to look to you to know what it is that you want out of this situation. So this idea of, hey, if you have faith, you will never have a problem, is baloney. Because God says in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Now, does that mean that God says, once you're a believer, it's easy street? How many of you have experienced that no problems once you became a believer? You know, that's the reality of our lives, that we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that has struggle, that has trials, and it brings up fear. It brings up those emotions, those deep-set emotions and struggles in our lives. David recognizes that. And he chooses then to focus on God and not the problem. He says, Lord, deal with my enemy. I don't know what to do with them, but help me focus on you. Help me turn to you, putting fear in its proper place of influence. See, fear is a motivator. If it is a good motivator, it turns us to God. When I don't know what to do I turn to myself or do I turn to God? And how do I put fear in that proper perspective, that proper place of influence, to drive me to God instead of away from God? To put our trust in God. Look at verse 4. It says, 3 and 4, it says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Here's our first chorus, right? What's a chorus? The central theme of the song, the central theme idea that carries forward in that chorus that we go back to, and we'll see it again. But this chorus that says, in God I will trust. When I am afraid, I put my trust in Him. In God, whose word I praise, You know, it's God's word, the truth about God, and worshiping him, praising him, recognizing God's word is truth, not the situation that I'm in, not the fear that I have, but God's truth, and I praise him for that. To look to God, to focus on God and not the problem, to put our trust in him. David chose to put his trust in God, even though he was still afraid. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, some great verses from Proverbs where it says, trust in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not on our own understanding, but to trust in God, and he will make our paths straight. Does it mean he'll take away every problem, that we don't have to face any issues in life? No, but he will draw our path through those to the outcome that will bring glory to his name, if we trust in him. It goes on to say in 7 and 8, fear the Lord, turn from evil. And I love this. It will be refreshment to your soul when we turn to the Lord. We think of the fear and we want answers. We want to resolve our struggle and be out of it. This verse, though, says when we turn to the Lord, even in the place of that struggle, we can find refreshment for our souls, because God is the one who determines it all. God is the one who's strong enough to carry us through. You see, he talks about the worst case scenario here, right? He says, in God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Right? Doesn't that sound like, what can flesh do to me? You know, it can't do that much. You know, people, what are they going to do to me? Well, I don't think that's what he's saying. What can flesh do to me? Look at what they say, what he says in the scriptures. All day long, they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. Remember where he is in Gath, where Goliath was from, whose sword he had strapped to his side after he had killed him? What could man do to him? What were they ready to do? They were ready to take his life. They had him by the throat, and they were going to take his life. What could flesh do to me? And it says there, they have waited for my life. They could kill me. But you see, his resolve is, what could flesh do to me? They can take my life, but they can't take God. They can't take the promise that I have of his eternal life. And here is the rub for me. Because we are in this place of being in a temporal world where we live for a time. I don't know about you, but it's real easy for me to focus on these few years that we have on this world and say, this is what it's about. I just got news yesterday that my niece is going to have a baby. And it is so exciting. And it's all going to be just rosy and fun, I'm sure. My kids are now graduated from college, have their jobs, and one is starting his own family. He's married now, and they're going to be in this area. They're buying a house, and I think of all that's starting for them. And I think this is it. This is what we live for, right? Wrong! This is not what we live for. This is the joy of what God has given us in how he has created us to be in relationship. But we live as believers for the glory of God. But we lose that, don't we? We say, oh, but God wants us to have everything that we need and want. And We instead turn to what we want from this life and not the eternal perspective of who is going to heaven with me. And nobody can take that away from me. And therefore, I will trust in God. What can flesh do to me? They can take my life, but they can't take heaven. And it is a completely radical way to live for me on that perspective. And when I am afraid to remember why I'm here, to live for God, that He might know that I'm His, that I might glorify His name, and that others would know it too. That change in perspective. What's the worst case? That I lose my life in this world. But when I lose my life in this world, I know I'll be walking in the presence of Jesus Christ for eternity with Him. And for some, they don't understand that. But you see, that's the change in perspective that He's calling us to have. To change from our own focus on this life where we're here for just a time. Don't get me wrong. He wants us to love here like He loves. He wants us to enjoy our family. I look forward to holding, I don't know, what do you call that? My grandniece is, I don't know. But I look forward to holding that child. And that's the pleasure God gives us, to see His love displayed in our lives. But we live for a greater purpose. And that's where David makes this distinction where he says, I am afraid for this life right now, but I trust in You with my life forever. And I will run this tension of trying to turn my fear over to You to do whatever You call me to do, to allow You to do whatever You're going to do, that I would serve You, to stand on God's promises and truth. I think it's such a great verse where he goes on. He says, because they stir up strife, for their crime will they escape. In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. It is God's job to deal with the people, to deal with our enemy. But, he says, You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in Your bottle. Are they not in Your book? Then my enemy will turn back in the day when I call. You see, God knows us. He says, You have kept count of my tossings, my wanderings, all that's gone on in my life, my struggles. You know all of those. Psalm 139, 16, it says, in Your book were written every one of my days before one of them came to be. Before one of my days came to be, God knew my whole life. They are laid out in His book. Somehow He balances that with my free will. And that's God's work, not mine. I don't need to understand how He does that, but He does. God has kept count of my wanderings, my tossings, my struggles, my pains. He knows just where I've been and where I am. God cares about us greatly. He loves us enough that He sent His own Son to die on the cross for us, that we might be forgiven of our sin, so to be reconciled to Him, to put my tears in Your bottle, that whole funeral practice that they used to, that they would have recognized when He started talking about that, that whole idea about how much God cares about us. He knows me. He understands me. When we are feeling separated from God, longing to have God near, to turn to Him and to know that He knows me. Verse 9, it says, then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In the whole struggle, it comes down to that. That regardless of what happens, he knows God's right there with him. It may be his release and victory in this life, it may be in the next. But God knows him and is for him. And it makes all the difference in how he faces the struggle that he's in, how he faces the very struggle and trial and captivity that he faces, that he is struggling with. Romans 8:31, it says this and following. What then shall we say in response to these things, our present sufferings and future glory? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword? All those things we can allow to separate us from the love of God in our own minds. But what he says, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, the problem is we equate the love of God with nothing bad happening to me. Don't we? We equate the love of God being active in my life with removing me from any trouble. Like a parent with children who we want to protect from any hardship, any negativity. We want to remove them from any struggle. And is that what they need? Does that teach them what they need to know to handle the struggle after they leave us? No. But that's what we want to do with them. And that's our perspective on God sometimes, where we think, God, if you know, love me. Take me away from this trial in my life. Sometimes the best thing is walking with us through that hardship, where we learn to trust in God and learn to see what he does through it. And then we have the refrain, the central theme where he says, in God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid, even though he is afraid. He refrains and goes back to this central theme that I can put my trust in God even though I'm afraid here today. And I can trust that he will act, he will work, and I am his. And nobody can take that away from me. Facing down fear with faith in the one who holds his life for eternity. And finally, a future hope that we're going to close with here today. This future hope where he says, at the end of that, he says, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. That is not this trading of favors. It's not this sense of, if you do this for me, God, I'll worship you. I'll give my vows. Or if I do my vows right, then I know you'll give me release and you'll give me victory here. It's just the opposite of that. It is trusting in God, and because of that relationship, turning back and saying, I want to praise God. I will focus my relationship on God in the central of my life. The central theme to focus on God, to give him praise, to perform my vows of thanksgiving, to worship God for who he is, regardless of my situation, that the outcome might be that I would walk before God in the light of life. You see, when we don't turn over to God and when we don't trust in God, there is this darkness of pain and suffering. And we walk in that darkness. But when we turn to trust in God, we are able to walk in the light of life. That is Jesus Christ. He calls himself the light of life. in the brightness and the clarity of God, regardless of what happens to us, regardless of the fear we might feel, the anger, the anxiety, the depression, whatever it is, we can also trust in God and worship Him. And from that, find a wholeness and a peace and light and clarity to walk before God that others might see us there as well. John 8:12, it says, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Where would you rather be? In the darkness of fear or in the light of life in Jesus Christ? Philippians 4:7, it says, the Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May we overcome the fear and trial in the trials of life by turning to faith in God, so that we might walk in the light of life, both now and for eternity. I don't know what's going to happen in your life or mine when we walk from this door. And I know that some of you face great trials. May God be greater than any trouble of this world in your life. May God be stronger than any weakness of yours or mine. May God be our God. May we turn to Him and live for a greater purpose by faith through the struggles and trials of life. May we find Him there by turning to Him and allowing Him to be God and walking in His way. Let's pray. Lord, when we face those struggles, those trials like David did, where we're overwhelmed with the idea that You would even be able to save us, and we ask to be removed from the situation, instead, help us, Lord, turn to trust in You. Whatever it is that You will do through this situation in our lives, that we might bring glory to Your name, that others would see that we walk in light, not in darkness. You are great, God. May we turn to You and find You in everyday trials and worship You, even in the place of fear, so that it might turn to trust and for us to walk before You in the light of life.